You're tuning in to the Our Church Podcast. Are you building your house on solid rock or on the sand? This week, Pastor Mark uses Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 7 to tell the difference between those who hear the word and those who actually respond. Knowing the difference can equip us to examine ourselves in the faith, but also to know who to share Jesus with.
We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. You have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Cool. We're going to be Matthew chapter 7. Our core text is going to be from verse 24, but I like to give the background text. So let's go verse 21 through 29, and Pastor Walt's going to read that for us.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter.
I'll freeze up. A little Selah, I want y'all to meditate on that for a little bit.
Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes.
Amen. Can we go back one verse? I want you to take a moment now and talk to somebody in your vicinity. What is, in this scripture, what is the rock and what is the sand? In this scripture that we just read, and you can pull it up in your Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 28 that we're looking at. I want you to talk to somebody in your vicinity. What is the rock and what is the sand? We come to church for fellowship. All right. Let's get a little feedback. What does anybody talk about? What was the rock? Don't have to fight over it. Who?
He said the rock was hearing the word and actually doing it.
Hearing the word and doing it. Amen. Did anybody else come up with something different for the rock? Amen. Anybody else?
I think Jesus is always your rock. And he is your foundation.
Amen. 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 Well, what it's always healthy to do is start with, oh, wait a minute. Lady Cherie's birthday is today. Praise the Lord. Just snuck in on me. Give it up. Yeah. Felt that in the spirit. Like, whoa, whoa. She showed up like Philip. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hey, it's always good to read the scripture and start, okay, what is my understanding? And then let's get to true understanding and always looking in context for the true understanding. But when you read the scripture, and it's funny, it's like he says, the man who hears these words of mine, he said, the one who hears these words of mine and acts on them is compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And before then, he said, therefore. Before that, he said, therefore. I mean, let's talk about the scriptures before that, which, man, Matthew 7, I just one scripture I think I read probably multiple times a month, not just a year, when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So what is the focus of the scripture? Doing the will of God. Amen. It wasn't that they said, Lord, Lord. There, man, many people, he said, many people, that's a word many sometimes means majority. Like many people on these religious roads, many people are going to say, I love God, I love God, I love God. He said, but those aren't going to be the ones. It's going to be the ones that do my will that matter most. And the crazy thing in this scripture is, before we even get to the rock and the sand, is what blows me away is these were gifted people. They prophesied in Jesus' name. Didn't say they gave fake prophecies or false prophecies. It said they cast out demons in Jesus' name. The Bible says demons don't cast out demons. So if anybody casted out a demon, they did it by the power of God. Now, how can it be you can have the power to cast out a demon and then not make it to heaven? Because he said, I'm going to tell them, I never knew you. He didn't even say you were saved and then fell away. He said, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. He didn't talk about how gifted they were. Well, I want y'all to understand this, leaders. Remember, if you came today, you're a leader, because that's who God told me to raise up and teach. Whether you feel it or not, you're a leader. God can anoint anyone to bless somebody. The Holy Spirit can come on somebody, and they can do great things. God will anoint people to bless people. He anointed Balaam to speak a true prophecy to his people, and then right after he spoke the prophecy, he went right on back to being wicked Balaam. God anointed a donkey to preach a sermon, and then it went right back to being a donkey. Like, he's actually said, if we don't worship him, he will get the rocks to jump up and sing. It doesn't mean the rocks are saved. It means he used the rocks. So there is an anointing from God to bless his people. But then there's anointing on the inside of people that causes them to deal with their stuff on the inside and causes them to submit to God and live right. You can be anointed and gifted as all get out, and he will use you to bless a lot of people. That doesn't mean you're saved. Do you live right? See, notice he said, you who practice lawlessness, you who live as if my presence doesn't even matter. There's no rules in your life. You do what you want, but you're gifted. You really are gifted. And we know a lot of people that are gifted, and sometimes we think we mistake our giftings for our salvation. Man, my prayer often is, I don't want to be a gift, God. I want real relationship with you. Because sometimes the worst thing you can get is a pat on the back when you know deep down you're not living right. And so and the scary thing is he addressed this, and he said, because people are going to be judged in this way, therefore, everybody who hears the word and puts it in practice is like a person building on the rock. The rock absolutely represents hearing and doing the word of God. It represents hearing and doing the word of God. And when the storm comes, that storm, the storm is talking about is the judgment of God. So hearing and doing the work will of God takes care of the storm, but it also takes care of all the little storms too. He said that when the storm came, that person stood firm because they were built on the rock. See, why? Because they did what the word said. Faith comes by hearing, right? Faith comes by hearing, but it's the doing that reveals whether you have a mental agreement, because you can mentally agree with God and still not do right. Whether you have mental agreement or real faith. Do I trust and value what I hear? Because sometimes, man, you can hear it, you can say amen, that's right, but you already know I'm not going to do anything different. I'm not going to change my behavior. Right? And that seems to be what he judged. Do not believe lies in our culture today, even that come from pulpits that say behavior doesn't matter. Because he told these dudes, you who practice lawlessness, that's behavior. He didn't say you who didn't believe I was the Lord. You who live like I'm not the Lord. You who practice, it's your conduct that reveals something's wrong on the inside. We doing all right? So something's wrong. The concern is, so the sand represents that person. We hear the word, we're not going to do the word. You really have no solid foundation. All you have is a feeling. And we live by this nasty understanding in our culture, even in our Christianity, called majority rules. Meaning if everybody else is doing it, that's what I'm going to do. If everybody else is not doing it, then it's okay for me not to do it. But you know, when God judges you, he doesn't like bring the majority. You stand before him one by one, and he will deal with you based on what he knows. And he knows everything. I always tell people, you can go to the deepest, darkest corner in this room and pick your nose, and he sees it. I mean, that's how close he is to stuff. And I think sometimes we lose that reverence of him. And so let's talk about this for a moment, because nothing discourages pastors more than to have hearers who don't do. You know that? When people are like, man, you preached a good word. I'm like, why aren't you living it? You're not encouraging me, telling me I sound good. Man, that was a good word. Did you change your life? You make any changes? No, not yet. But that was a good, you ain't encouraging me. You want to be encouraged? Encouragement comes, man, when people hear the word and respond. I know Pastor Satchel, he was so encouraged. He talked about the Financial Peace University, and he had like 20 people sign up. Man, that was encouraging for him because he put the word out there and people signed up. I was encouraged when somebody came to me this past week and they said they did the fast. When we did the fast at the beginning of the month, they said it was the first time I ever fasted. It was the first time I ever fasted, but man, it was so encouraging that they did it. They just heard the word. I'm not the fast Nazi. You know, I'm not knocking on your door and see what you're doing. But they did it because they stepped out and did that. So let's talk about this for a moment. Why is doing so important? It's because in doing the word, we allow for this thing to happen called sanctification. All right? And the will of God is your sanctification. I'm going to show you that verse for a moment. But let me get a definition of sanctification. Sanctification is the process of you becoming like Jesus. More and more each day. How many of us make that our goal every day, every moment? I'm going to be like Jesus. See, and people say, man, that's raising the bar. No, that's where the bar always is. No, people often compare themselves. I would do a little survey, say, come on, who's your favorite character in the Bible? And people start naming, oh, David's my favorite, or Peter's my favorite, or people try to normally name people they think are screw-ups. And they're like, and I'm a screw-up just like them. And I say, well, you're in trouble. Because we're not called to be Davidites, Abrahamsites, Peterites. We're called to be like Jesus. So you can be like David. You can be like Peter. You can be like Paul. You're going to hell. You need to be like Jesus. Because it said there's only one person, only one way in. It didn't say the way in is through Peter. So do not be happy. Oh, look at Peter. That's me. No, that's not you. No, you don't want that to be you. Even Peter knew he couldn't be Peter. But the least talked about, the least person that we make it our goal to be in the scripture is Jesus. And he's the only one we're called to be like. That's the very definition of the word Christian. Is this deep? It's not real deep, right? Trying to keep it simple. And so let's talk about this. The will of God is your sanctification, that you become more like Christ every day. I want you to read, let's read the scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8.
Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification.
Stop there for a moment. Just highlight that. You always want to know what the will of God is for your life? There's plenty of verses that says this is the will of God. And he's talking about your life. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Got that? Now, look at what he linked that to. He was just talking about keeping the commandments of God. Now, look what he's about to tell them, how to be sanctified. Now, read the rest.
That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God.
Stop for a minute there. Does that sound like conduct? Yes, sir. Right? Does that sound like conduct? He's talking about conduct. This is how you get sanctified. Abstain from sexual morality. Know how to control yourself. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is called self-control. There's nothing called God control. Keep going.
And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So
listen to what he's saying. Don't let anyone defraud you in this. Don't let any, scripture, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone massage your shoulders and tell you obedience don't matter. Conduct don't matter. This is very popular teachings out there. He said, don't let anybody fool you about this. He said, why? Because that person is rejecting God who gave the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help you live a life of godliness, to help you live like Christ 24-7. Oh, wait a minute. Nobody can live like Christ 24-7. Then if we can't live like Christ 24-7, then I can do all things through Christ is not a true verse. Because all means all. Just because you don't try don't mean it's not possible. He says, but if we can't do this, then we can't do all things through Christ. But if the, I believe the word is true, we can do all things through Christ. The problem is many of us do not try. And we just wrote it off because that's what's popular in the culture. He says, do not let anybody fool you about this, y'all. It is always very, it's a popular teaching out there today. Let no one fool you about this. You are called to walk as Jesus walked. That's it. And some people say, that's too hard. And you know what Jesus would say in the scripture? I'm still not changing my stance. He says, with man, it's impossible. But with me, all things are possible. We're doing all right. So how does God sanctify us? Well, one way he says God sanctifies us by his word. He says, sanctify them by your word. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. So when somebody takes the word of God and applies the word of God to their life, sanctification is happening. Now, the scripture also says, sanctify yourself. Again, man, God puts responsibility on us. Joshua 3 and 3 said this, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God's telling you to do something. 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 21. Now in a large house, there is not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, you see that? If anyone cleanses himself, who's he putting that responsibility on? If anyone cleanses himself from these things, God's not just going to beam it off of you. He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified. There's that word. Useful to the master, prepared for every good work. He puts that on you. Now, I'm going to read this verse to you, so it'll let you know, give you the whole scripture so there's no confusion. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 to 24. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely and make your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring to pass. Okay, Pastor, I'm getting a little confused now. So does it depend on us or does it depend on God? Listen to me. It depends on God. He does it. But let me show you how he does it. I want you to imagine this. God does it, but you got to cooperate with it. God does it, but you got to cooperate with it, because if you don't cooperate with it, it ain't going to happen for you. Understand? But he does it. How many got kids? Older kids. You tell your kids to clean their room. Anybody got that testimony? Okay. Now, they go and clean the room. But they're going to clean the room because of the word you spoke to them. So when the room is clean and people come over and say, your room's clean, they can't take any credit for it. They'll say, yeah, my parents told me to clean my room. Because if it was up to them, they would never clean the room and be totally fine with the room not being clean. You did it. They cooperated. It was your idea. So understand, when God tells you to be pure, you can't take any credit for your response, because being pure was not on your mind. God tells you to forgive, you were totally okay being bitter. So when you forgive, you cannot say, that's me. No, why'd you give? Because God told me to forgive. Why'd you hold your tongue? Because God told me to hold my tongue. I was perfectly okay giving him a piece of my mind. But he says he sanctifies by his word. He speaks the word. When you cooperate with the word, that's sanctification. That's how he does it. So yes, he does it, but he does it by giving you the word. And when you cooperate with the word, good things happen for you. But he does it. Everybody got that? Just trying to make sure of that. So let's look at this for a moment. When we do this, without doing, there's no sanctification. Is that, are we getting this? Just trying to break it down for us. Without any doing, there's no sanctification. So, if you simply just do the word, now listen, you simply do the word at the level you understand the word. We live from revelation to revelation. Do what you know, and sanctification starts. So that person came to me and said they started fasting last week, the other week. They said, you know, we did the fast, and I got in the Word, but I didn't stay in the Word for an hour a day, but I got in the Word and did as much as I could each day. Sanctification started for them. And they encountered God because they did something. There was movement. That's what they did, is they heard the Word and then put their faith in action. Faith without action is not faith, right? There's no such thing as faith without obedience. It just doesn't happen, right? Come on. Ladies, you want a husband who's, he's faithful to you? He's sleeping around, but he got faith that you're the only one for him. Right? Right? You see, even some of the guys' face frown up. Come on, think about that. The person you're married to, I got faith that you're the only one for me, but I'm sleeping around. Well, that's how we sound when we talk about God. I have faith that you're Lord, that you're the only one, but I'm sleeping around. And we call that faith. No. The Bible calls it adultery. Jesus calls it that. The same thing you would call it. Are we understanding this? So when we do this, all you got to do is live out. Just do the word, man. The word God put on my heart, man, is like, it ain't real deeply spiritual. It's called, let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. I don't know. I watched Ratatouille. Y'all seen the movie Ratatouille? And he was like, let's do this thing. Like, and as I'm reading the word, I'm seeing all he just said, let's do this thing. Like, let's really do Jesus if we're really going to do Jesus. Come on. Let's do this thing. For real. There's enough fakes out there. There's enough phonies out there. Man, let's really do this thing. And the ones who really do this are the ones who are doing the word of God. And when you do the word of God, everything just flows. So last week, we talked about the will of God is that no man will be lost, right? The will of God is that we will go and make disciples. When we go and make disciples, that is us building on the rock. That is us building on the rock. Why are we making disciples? Not because it was your idea. You're making disciples because that's the word of God. You'd be very content never talking to anyone, right? Come on. Some of us can just do our Christianity and not talk to anyone. Some of y'all don't even talk to me. As soon as the service over, pew, I gotta run to the back door. Ho. And it doesn't mean you don't love Jesus, just like, man, if it was up to you. You ain't talking to nobody. And you'll be happy, you and Jesus. Good, right? But because he says do this, we put the word in action. But understand this, doing the word actually puts you in a better position to make disciples. If you're making disciples, and we're not just talking about preaching, I'm talking about getting in relationship and making believers and followers. You got to live a life that somebody's willing to follow, right? None of y'all want to hear me talk about marriage and I beat my wife. Hey, man, love your life like Christ loves your church. Shut up, woman! Ain't that dysfunctional? How can I make disciples if everything in my life's not in order? Right? And somebody's got to be an example. Why not you? Somebody's got to be an example. People are looking for examples. Why not you? But when we make disciples, that's building on the rock, man. Francis Chan was talking about many of us don't even understand that when we don't make disciples, we are being disobedient and that we have to stand before God one day with our disobedience. And I don't even know if that shakes the church anymore because some of us hear it and we just say, well. And one day. But if we embrace this thing about making disciples and sharing the gospel, remember I told you I can't teach passion, right? But if you're saying, yes, God, I want to make disciples. Yes, God, I want to preach the gospel. And I'm terrified. It's okay. Yeah, I'm scared too. I'm scared all the time. I'm going to let y'all know a little secret. Y'all know why I go to the bathroom right before I get up here? Because I'm scared. And sometimes I'm tempted to keep going. So that comes on everybody. Because why? Because, man, God's given us the task of people's souls, man. That should make you a little bit, and man, I'm going out here to represent God. And nobody wants to be disliked. I want to be liked, man. I mean, sometimes I see y'all faces. I don't know if you got gas or you're upset with me. But it all looked the same. So I'm like, oh, man, they're not coming back. So nobody wants to face that. But I said yes to the call. So I want us to talk a little bit about some application stuff. If we're going to be doers of the word, somebody's like, man, Pastor Mark, I want to go make disciples. I want to go talk to people. But, man, who do I talk to? Right? Because sometimes you can walk down the street and you think, am I supposed to talk to that person? Am I supposed to talk to that person? When I start praying for people, sometimes I feel like I'm supposed to pray with everybody. Oh, I want to pray with them. I want to pray with them. Jesus didn't do it that way. Who do I talk to and how? So first thing, I'm gonna let you off the hook. You're not necessarily gonna be talking to every single person you come in contact with in your life. Jesus Christ did not do that on the earth, all right? But I'm gonna tell you how to identify the people you talk to. One of the things you don't do, first thing you do, you do not judge or condemn the unsaved. And that's Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, lest you be judged, but the same measure you judge be measured back to you. That word is saying condemned. We absolutely do not believe when people say Christians are not supposed to judge. That's not true. We're not supposed to judge unsaved people. But the Bible says we are absolutely supposed to judge anyone who says they're a Christian. You're supposed to look at their fruit and see if they're really who they say they are. No different than the evaluation you would make if somebody's going to babysit your child. You don't care. You want to look at their fruit. If they're on the registered list, you're going to probably say, no thanks. And they might be like, you judging me? And I'll be like, yes, I am. We absolutely judge those in the house, but we don't judge those outside the house, meaning condemn, meaning you see somebody and you think they're unreachable. Man, nah, not them. Because sometimes there are people I want to talk to and people I don't want to talk to. And God always seems to send me to the ones I don't want to talk to. You know, what about them? She's all nice and kind. And what about him? Him? That's like, man, when I got saved, my best friend's mom, man, said, I know you're not supposed to give up on people, but I gave up on you. I'm like, thanks. Never tried to reach me. Took me to some stuff, but never talked to me about Jesus. Just said, you're the devil, and you're not going to make it. On to the next one. We cannot look, conduct is a great indicator whether somebody is not saved. No doubt about that. But conduct does not reveal whether a person refuses to repent. Some people are perishing because of a lack of knowledge. So conduct may, man, when I hear somebody curse, all that's to me saying, okay, that's who needs Jesus. I'm like, well, I'm getting away from these cursing people. Well, you ain't going to never reach anybody unsaved. I mean, newsflash, unsaved people curse. Right? If you think you're saved, you shouldn't be cursing. Just throwing that out there. Now, so you don't want to condemn them. Who you want to target is you want to target humble people. And this is why a lot of us are so afraid. Matthew 7:6 says, do not give your pearls to pigs. Do not give what's sacred to the dogs, lest they turn and tear you to pieces. It says, God's grace, he opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. The reason many of us are so terrified and have a hard time sharing the gospel is we target hard-hearted people who don't want God. And we'll spend all this time arguing with our uncle, who determined, I don't want God, I don't need God. You're like, I'm going to get him saved. I'm going to get him saved. No, Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet and move on. We got to trust the method. We spend so much energy on one person. That's not how you do grass seeds. Imagine you're going to just work on this one grass seed until it produces. You better fling them bad boys. So here's what you begin to do. You target humble people. When I begin, see, I had to learn this the hard way, y'all, because I used to try the same way. I go headlong into the atheist club. All right, I'm trying to give y'all Jesus. And they just argue and argue. You arguing back and forth. And then you'd be like, yeah, we share Jesus with people. No, you argued. But here's what you do. You don't target those people. You don't waste words arguing with sinners. You begin to, you ask God, who's ready? God, show me who needs you. Show me who wants you. Look at Jesus' ministry. He stuck with the ones that wanted him. He didn't chase anybody down and tackle them and try to say, you got to get saved. He gave you your options. And life will teach you. If you don't have to teach a person, you give them the truth, life will teach them. Life is like Monopoly, y'all, one of my favorite games. You know, Monopoly starts off and everybody got money sitting in front of them. Nobody want to make a deal. No, right? Come back an hour later when that person about busted. all of a sudden Baltic and Mediterranean looking real good. Because when you're bad enough off, you're ready to make a deal. When people, I run into hard-hearted people, I walk away and I say, God, rock their world. Break them down so they'll look up. Got it? So target humble people and you will find you'll have a much higher success rate and a much more peaceful time sharing the gospel, right? Another thing you need to do is talk about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you go up to them and say, here are the four spiritual laws. You might do that, but talk about him just like you talk about your kids, like that he is the number one in your life. Some of us got to condition ourselves to talk about Jesus. He said, whatever I tell you in the dark, stay in the light. Talk about him. People know all these things about you. Why don't you just talk about him? Like naturally. Man, if he's the number one relationship in your life, listen to what people talk about. Kids, I didn't ask about your kids, but I'm hearing about your kids. I didn't ask about your wife, but I'm hearing about your wife. I didn't ask about your job, but I'm hearing about your job. So why do I need to wait for somebody to ask to hear about Jesus? I'm hearing all these other things I ain't asked for. So I'm going to start talking about what they ain't asked for. But when I just talk about them like it's a real relationship, then people begin to say, man, maybe that's legit. Can you talk to me about that Jesus? All right, so yes, we share directly, but just as he's a regular part of your life, I want you to begin to pray for opportunity. Pray for opportunity, and trust me, God will answer faster than you like. Because opportunity is all around you. When you pray this prayer, he's just going to take the blinders off so you can see the harvest is ripe, the workers are few. Pray for opportunity. Pray that God humbles people. Pray that God will put, man, God, show me who's ready to receive you today. I knew a person, they said they prayed that every day, and for 365 days, they brought somebody to Christ. Show me who's ready. Why? Because the people that were coming were ready to receive Christ. Are we praying that? Man, God, show me who's ready. Right? And then when we make disciples, it says, teach them to obey everything. Teach them to obey everything God commanded you. Think about this. You don't have, Jesus discipled 12 non-Christians. So you can teach people things Jesus taught you even if they're not saved. People would ask me, so they would come to me if they weren't saved. They was like, man, this situation in my life, what should I do? What would you do? And I said, well, Jesus would say this, and I would do what Jesus would do. And I would say it all the time, well, Jesus would say this, and I would do what Jesus would do, because they don't need to know what I would do. But I'm teaching them, that's discipleship. I'm teaching them to obey everything that Jesus taught me. Now, when you see that word obey everything, everything means everything. Right? We don't even need our concordance for that, but you can go ahead and pull out your concordance, and you'll see in the Greek, everything means everything. Now, you may be saying, well, man, teach them to obey everything. I don't obey everything. Well, why don't you? And I mean with an excuse that God will accept. Why don't you obey everything? It all boils down to, I just don't believe it matters. I love pleasure more than I love God. So if you don't obey everything, you really don't need to be making disciples. You need to be one. And then when you do that, because those who are committed to sanctification are committed to obeying Jesus no matter what. Right? They can say, follow me as I follow Christ. When you make disciples, everybody's not reading the Bible. Look, man, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Man, that's what Paul said. Follow me as I follow Christ. Man, shouldn't we all be able to say that? If I'm a Christian, follow me as I follow Christ. Pattern your marriage after mine. Raise your kids the way I do mine. And then if I can get you to a place you can follow Christ all by yourself, then you go ahead and follow by yourself. But as I make disciples, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm a safe place. I'm devoted. I can do all things through Christ. I can get it right. You can get it right. You're probably getting it more right than you think. Until somebody tells you that nobody gets it right. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Why don't you be the real deal? Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Right? You don't even have to know the whole Bible. Just respond to what you do know. I'm trying to make this easy for us, y'all, so we can really apply this. And I love the last verse of that first, in that Matthew 7, it says, when Jesus taught, they were amazed because he taught as one who had authority, not a teacher of the law. When you are a doer of the word, you speak with authority, not as a theologian. I don't need somebody to give me some Bible jargon. I need somebody who's really living this thing out. And when they talk, it's like, that person seems to know the Bible, but you seem to know Jesus. And I'm not going by your emotional responses. I'm not even looking at your prayer life. I'm not looking at how good you talk. You just seem to always do what he says to do. We need people in authority, not theologians. You know, when I go to Mike to get your car fixed, I don't want to see him open the manual that's in my glove compartment and say the manual says. I'm going to him because he's an authority on it. He talks about cars like he knows cars. You know what I'm talking about? When you're on your job, some people just know it like that. Pastor Victor didn't just read a book on healing. He knows it. Pastor Satchel, he knows that financial stuff. Man, he's like, it's a part of him. Man, we're supposed to know. When people hear us talk about Jesus, it should be like, that person knows Jesus. They're not just spitting out some jargon trying to get me in a church building. I don't even invite people to church, man. I invite you to Jesus. But that's part of the power of sanctification in your life. So I want to encourage us, y'all. Let's do this thing. For real. For real. Let's really do this thing. Look, we've been given avenues for discipleship. When we have these small groups and stuff, it's an opportunity for you to disciple somebody and for somebody to disciple you. You need somebody to disciple? Get in a small group. You need to make disciples? We're bringing the fish to you. But don't just blow it off. It is really important, because if we get in the habit of just reading the word and blowing it off, we're building in the sand. But when I read the word and it so grips me, like, I gotta do something. I don't have to be a professional evangelist. I don't even know what that is. Once you become a professional at any aspect of Christianity, you're probably not doing Christianity. I'm not a professional prayer person. A lot of my prayers, like, God said pray. That's why I pray, because God said pray. And you be real with you, some of my prayers are like, God, I don't even know what this looks like. I've been praying that way probably for like double-digit years. God, I don't even know. This all feels weird to me. But I know you hear me, so I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to write it down if I got to, and I know he answers. But every time it still feels weird. I'm better off praying for you than I am when I pray for myself. I'm like, God, you know, I don't even know what prayer looks like. I start praying, my mind goes somewhere else. I'm like, oh, man, did I fail prayer? No, I didn't fail prayer. I'd say, God, man, increase my focus. But I'm going to keep building. We got that? So, y'all, let's examine ourselves. Let's do this thing for real. I mean, just real simple. Open your Bible. Read a scripture and do it. Don't wait for heaven and earth to move you. Open a scripture. Do it. Humble yourself. Do it. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Do it. Whatever it says, just do it. I want us to do something as a body. I want us to start reading Proverbs together. Book of Wisdom. Whatever the date is, we'll read that proverb. And if whatever the date is, if we read that proverb, we would have read the book of Proverbs every month. Let's get wiser. And then let's do it. And I guarantee it will come alive to you. So I love it because the ones who built on the rock, they weren't afraid of floods. The same storm came. They just handled it differently because they were built on the rock. So whatever Holy Spirit spoke to you in that, let's do this thing for real, y'all. And I'm going to keep giving y'all some pointers on how to, but I can't stir passion. But let's begin this week. Let's pray. Lord, send humble people my way. I guarantee you, you'll see opportunities. Guarantee it. And then just step out there. I've walked with the people and had no idea what I was going to say until I got to them. And you know that's how God does it. God wants that person saved more than you do. So when the Holy Spirit's like, oh, there's somebody, and I just start walking all scared, it's like God gets up there and says, get out of the way. And he starts talking to him because he wants them saved more than I do. All he need me to do is be willing to build on the rock.
To stay connected with our church, you can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter using the handle @TryOurChurch. Or you could send us an email to info@TryOurChurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through text to give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.